Thanks for joining us today for our Thursday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today, we're continuing our study in the book of Exodus. So let's listen in now to Pastor Dave.
Soon your trials will be over.
And Aaron did so and arranged the lamps to face towards the front of the lampstand. So again, we have this right here. Now you can kind of see these. Okay, these are probably separate, all right, that sit on the lampstand. And there's seven of them. Again, you can look at this and just, again, that would be paint forward, okay? And so, but these are gold, and so you get a better idea of what that possibly looks like there. And so the lamps, I think, are separate. They're seen separately. Again, wicks would be put on the end of the lamps with the oil going in the center right there. Okay, you put the oil in there. Again, you have the wick like this. It goes in, the oil's on top of it, so it absorbs it. It goes to the very tip there. And so as it's burning, they know to stick it out this far each and every day. And by the time they come in the morning, it's probably down a little bit like that. So they pull it out a little bit. They trim the wick, you know, fill it with oil. And so that's how they keep it burning all the time. And so the oil in the lamps, well, we often see in the Bible the oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. With oil as symbol of the Holy Spirit, priests and kings were anointed. But all true believers have the Holy Spirit inside of them. We read in 1 Corinthians 3:16, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Yes. I want you to go over here to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, it says that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him, meaning Christ, you also trusted after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Go to the left here. Here in verse 21, it says, "Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who has also sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." So again, when you receive Christ, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you and dwells inside of you as a guarantee, meaning you're guaranteed to make it to heaven. You're guaranteed to make it into the presence of God as a child of God. You are guaranteed that because the Holy Spirit is inside and you're sealed with him. You can't lose your salvation. You can't unseal something that God has sealed. You can't. And so again, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. We understand. Again, this place, yes, we can call it God's house. We can call what we're doing God's house because that's where God's people are going to go to fellowship. But guess what? The Lord himself is not in that place because he dwells inside of us. Hence the whole 1 Corinthians 3:16, you know that you're the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. We're the temple of God now. He dwells inside of people now in every believer. And so every believer is that lampstand, being that light that people need to be able to see. The oil in the lamps, this wonderful type of ministry of the Holy Spirit. At the top of each branch were cups. Pure olive oil was poured in. You have seven cups, which I believe speaks of the seven ministries of the Holy Spirit. In Revelation 4:5, it says, "And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. In Isaiah 11:1, it says, "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of its roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." And so again, we see this sevenfold ministry of the Holy Spirit here in this slide. You can see here with this lampstand here, here is the Spirit of the Lord right here. And it is the Spirit of wisdom, counsel, knowledge, fear of the Lord, might, and understanding. Seven, as he is described in scriptures, and yet we have seven lights here as well. Okay. The fact that the seven lamps are supported by the lampstand, foreshadowing the fact that the Spirit comes from who? Jesus. Comes from Jesus. John 15:26. "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." John 16:7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." And on the day of Pentecost, we saw that happen. Acts 2:33. "Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear." Now, something else about the oil. Without the oil, there is no light. Without the oil, there is no light. The light comes from the oil. That means in order to truly be saved, the Holy Spirit is inside of you. Okay? The Holy Spirit is inside of you. But in order for the lights to remain on, it's interesting to me, who lit the lamps? The priest did. The priest did. Who turns the light of the Holy Spirit on in your life if you're believing the Lord Jesus Christ and you have the light? You do, because you're of the priesthood of the believers. 1 Peter 2:9, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." We, as believers, can keep the light going, or we can quench that light. We choose each and every day. When we go before the Lord and we just ask for that infilling, "Lord, I pray and ask that you would remind me to keep my light on today." Because you can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can quench the Spirit. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 4. We are told not to grieve the Holy Spirit. It says in verse 29, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." How many people here have said a negative thing this last week? Don't raise your hands. I appreciate you doing that, but "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but only what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." We're here to bring grace, grace, grace. And if you're bringing grace, you should have a grace face, okay? "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed with the day of redemption." How do you grieve the Spirit? How do you grieve? Well, I would submit to you what was just said, as well as what's going to be said here after this. "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another. Be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." You know how you grieve the Spirit? Not being kind to one another. You know how you grieve the Spirit? By being rude. And sometimes we think it's okay to be rude. "I don't have to talk to that person. I have a grudge against them." Really? You're grieving the Holy Spirit. "I'm bitter towards them." You're grieving the Holy Spirit. "I'm unforgiving towards them." Really? How long have you been unforgiving? 5 months, 6 months, a year. Really? So you've been grieving the Holy Spirit for a year? Yeah, but. What do you mean, yeah, but? You don't know what they did. I'm sorry. Really? You're unforgiving to that person for a year, longer than a year? Do you realize if you're unforgiving to, you've been grieving the Holy Spirit that whole time? I'm bitter towards them. You're grieving the Holy Spirit. How on earth can you be bitter to? Well, you don't understand. For you've been grieving the Holy Spirit for however long you want to put in there. I've been bitter towards them. I'm unforgiving towards them. I'm angry towards them. But Dave, you don't understand what they have done. You don't understand what you're doing. You're grieving the Holy Spirit, which is way worse than anything anyone has done to you. We have to understand that. And we have to understand, why did God allow that person to do that? To be able to show you care more about your bitterness than whether you're grieving the Holy Spirit or not. What does that say about us when we do that? Oh, Lord, forgive me. You're forgiven. He wants you to get to that place. You're forgiven. How dare us? I include myself. You notice the us, right? You people. No. My heart is flayed open. And it's like, how you feel about that person? Oh, Lord, forgive me. Help me. Help me love them. Okay, never once in God's word does it say that you have to like them. But it does say you have to love them. And as I've taught many times, as you love them, as you're kind to them, as you hold no animosity towards them, as you forgive them and everything else, you know what ends up happening as you're doing those things over and over and over? You begin to like them. Who changed? You did. I did. They didn't. They're still as obnoxious as they've always been. But you knew who's? You've changed. I've changed. That's the beauty of it. But to look at it through the eyes of, oh man, I can't be mad with them. I can't be angry with them. I can't be, I'm grieving the Spirit when I'm like that. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. All wrong behaviors and wrong attitudes grieve the Holy Spirit. But you also can quench the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not quench the Spirit. The word quench there means to suppress. That means the Spirit is leading you, and you're saying, oh, yeah, no. No. Hey, I want you to get involved. No, I'm not doing that. Hey, I want you to, nope. You're quenching the Spirit. You're suppressing the Spirit. And I will submit to you that many times, if not the majority of time, God is going to lead you in an area that you do not want to go in order to serve Him. All of us need to be involved in the local body of Christ. Some of you might not be able to because of maybe some physical limitations and things like that. You can't commit to something because of your health or whatever it is. And I would say, I understand that. So please do this. Sign up on our prayer chain. So when prayer requests come in, you could be praying for those people. And that you would take it a step further and pray for this body. And take it even a further step. And please, 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 every day, could you please pray for me? My wife, my family, you know, everybody on staff, their family. That is what God's calling you to do then. Other people, God's saying, I want you to open up your home for a community group. I want you to facilitate a community group. I want you to help out in Sunday school. I want you to help out with youth. I want you to help out and the ministries are all there for you to get involved with. Every single one of us needs to be involved somehow in the body of Christ. And some of you, God has stirred your heart. You are to do this, and you've said, no. I understand that. I remember when God first called me into ministry. I remember when I was walking with the Lord now for about 6 months. I got my relationship back where it needed to be. I was going to church and everything else, and God told me very clear, okay, it's time to now get involved. You've been sitting long enough. You know of my grace and mercy. We're back on track where we need to be. And guess what? It doesn't end here. It's now I've given you gifts that you need to use in the body of Christ. I said, okay, the next time that I go to church this weekend, whatever they ask for, I will step up and I will get involved, you know, wherever there is a need. And they usually ask for like 5 or 6 different things, you know. And that weekend, it was just youth ministry. It was a high school ministry. Needed help. I remember driving away and hearing as clear as I could from the Lord this prompting. So how come you didn't, you know, go and volunteer for that? Oh, wow. Because usually they give 5 or 6 things, right? But that's not what we agreed upon. You said wherever there's a need, that need was given. Well, yeah, but I don't want to do that. You know? Yeah, but you said, but usually, and there was this, oh my goodness, all the way home, all the way back to my apartment. And I just, no, I don't want to do that. You said, this is where the need is. And I remember going, getting involved, having a conversation with the youth pastor at that time that I didn't, it was very curt. It wasn't nice at all. It didn't seem warm or welcoming. And he gave me a bunch of things to do. I said, okay. And I left just thinking, man, he's a jerk. And 6 months later, he hands me over the Bible study that he does on Wednesday night. And I remember before him and just saying, what? Yeah, I'm going to go start one over here. So the one that you've been coming to that I'm doing, I'm going to give it over to you. And you teach them, I'm going to start one over here. I go, I don't know how to teach a Bible study. You don't know if I know how to teach a Bible study. And this is when I learned my very first ministry principle. That he said to me, he says, look, the Bible says if you can be faithful in little things, you can be faithful in much. Amen. And I asked you to do all these things, and you've done all of them, and you haven't complained once. And I remember thinking, well, not to you, but I just complain to God all the time. And he gave me the Bible study. It had about 35 kids in it. In 7 weeks, it went from 35 kids to 7. I just remember going, Lord, I didn't ask for this. You brought this my way. You know, this is your Bible study. This is on you, you know. I just sensed like the Lord was wanting me to get to a place where I just surrendered it all to him and just said, yeah, this is your Bible study. So if 7 come, 6 come, I'm still going to do it because you called me to do it. And it grew within that year to about 60 kids after that. But it was kind of like a giving over, you know, that God kind of brings you to this place where let's just stay humble. Let's take the low place. All this. And so it just one thing after another. And it has always been that, okay, I want you to do this now. Isn't this good enough what I'm already doing? And, you know, no, I now want you to do this. Okay, 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 okay. And every time we've done this, God blesses. And guess who changed? I did. God did not. I'm the one changed. And so what he's calling you to do, don't quench the spirit. It's to make you more Christ-like. And he's going to outgive you. He's going to outbless you. And it's going to be a really, really good thing. And so I just want to encourage those of you that are withholding. You know that what the Spirit is calling you to do. Don't quench the Spirit. The lampstand sheds light on the showbread. 1 Corinthians 2:9. We don't have a whole lot of time right now. So on your own time, read 1 Corinthians 2:9. It speaks how the Spirit is going to reveal the Word of God. Okay, it is the Spirit that is going to do that. So when you go to the bread, the show bread, okay, the Word of God, it is the Spirit that is going to reveal to you what the Word of God says. This is why before I read my devotion, I often pray, Lord, open my eyes to the wonders of your Word. Let the Spirit speak to me as I read your Word right now. It's because of what it says here, that God has revealed these deep things of himself through his Spirit. The lampstand sheds light on the golden altar of incense. We'll get into that later on. When it comes to that, it speaks of, again, of worship and prayer. John 4:24 says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The lampstand sheds light on itself. That's us. As we read the word of God, God is going to change you. James 4:8, draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. And one other thing. I want you to go to Revelation chapter 1. John is hearing from the Lord. In verse 11, it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in the book and send to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. Having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of God. Go over here to verse 19. It says, write the things which you have seen and the things which are and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels or messengers of the seven churches. And the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. You have the lampstand in all seven of these churches that you could read on your own. And there's some really bad churches there. And yet Jesus is still in the midst of them, hoping they will repent. I can never look at a church and go, oh, yeah, God's not there. He's there, but he's probably telling them to repent. Okay. And then it says in chapter 2 here about the church of Ephesus, the angel of the church of Ephesus, write these things, says he, meaning Jesus, who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your work, your labor, your patience. So he's in the midst of these churches, okay? I know your works, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil. That's a good thing. And you have tested those who say they're apostles and are not, and have found them liars. That's a good thing. I would say we do that here, all those things. We do that. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake, and you not become weary. I would say at this point that is true of this church. Here's the warning for us. And this is what I always fear about us. Okay. It says, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Are you doing these things because you know these are the right things to do? Or are you doing it from a motivation of a place of your love for the Lord Jesus Christ? And may we never forget that, okay? Yeah, but the way that we talk about false prophets, that's a good thing. It is a good thing because I want people to know about false prophets and false apostles and things like that. Hey, the way that we do these outreaches, these are good things. Yes, they are good things. But are we doing them so we could see many people come? Are we doing them because the Lord has shown us this is how we're going to love people? We're doing it from that place, not to try and make bigger and better in our eyes, okay? We always have to make sure, is this coming from a place of love and motivation, and is the Lord telling us to do this? And if it's not, guess what? Remember then, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent. And go back to do the first work, which is what? Loving the Lord. Having that thriving relationship with the Lord. Or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand. So repent. The lampstand represents the church. And guess what? Jesus is in the midst. But if he's calling us to repent, we need to repent. And make sure that our motivation for doing this is because they will see our good works but glorify you. Not glorify Calvary Castle Rock. They will glorify God, not Calvary Castle Rock. And sometimes we hear, hey, that someone told us this about Calvary Castle Rock, and oh, that sounds wonderful. But hopefully they understand that we're trying to point them to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Neither death nor even life.
Let nothing. Well, that concludes today's edition of Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love. Tune in tomorrow as we continue our study in the book of Exodus. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Childcare is available during all our weekend services. We also have a midweek study on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. At the same time, our kids' ministry runs Awana. And for young adults, our Arise ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30, right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. Thank you for tuning in to this radio station today. Until our next time together, we want to encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.